You'll open your Bibles this morning to one of the most beloved verses, John 3:16. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I want to look into this verse a little bit. But here we are this morning, the day after Christmas. The tree is still lit up, bright colored lights, garnished with garland and tinsel. The presents are all opened. All the gifts are out, and they're being shown to family and friends. The house is filled with the smells and the sounds and the sights of Christmas. But in a week or so, we'll take the tree down, and all the different ornaments that scattered around the house and lawn will be put away. The Christmas dishes will be put back in the storage. And the only sign that Christmas was here will be the pine needles stuck in the carpet. Christmas 2010 is gone, and we move on and prepare to meet the new year. This is typically how the world and most Christians celebrate Christmas every single year. For people who are not disciples of Christ, their focus at Christmas time is not on the Christ child, but it's on the glitter of the Christmas holiday. Black Friday, the perfect gift, the big dinner, decorations, parades, football, and all the other trappings that go with Christmas. So after their holiday is over, it's quite natural for them to pack everything away and forget about Christmas until next year. I saw that myself firsthand 7 years ago when I was in Florida visiting my brothers. At Christmas time, my mom passed away on the 22nd, and I was delivering a memorial service. And so I was down there, which wasn't normally, I normally don't visit them at Christmas. He had a Christmas tree that went to the ceiling. It was bigger around than me. It was decorated from the very top to the very bottom, and the presents were stacked and overflowing into the living room. I sat on the couch with a cup of coffee and I watched them. And everybody opened up their presents and all the oohs and the ahs and look at this and look at that. Just resounded for hours, it seemed. It was probably about an hour it took to open them all up. And then at the very end, the thing that I noted the most was that they all sat there, my brother, my sister-in-law, all the family on both sides that were down there sat there. All the presents were open. The paper was all over the floor. And they just sat and looked at each other for about 15 seconds. And then all of a sudden, it was just like a switch went off. Okay, let's clean up and let's have dinner. It was done. Of course, my brothers and my family, they're not Christian people. Their Christmas was over. It was time to have dinner, watch a few games, then go to bed and get ready for the new year. Genuine Christians, though, they have a little different focus, a much different focus. They do many of the same things that unbelievers do at Christmas time. But you see, their focus of Christmas is about the Christ child. It's about the coming, the first advent of Jesus Christ. They set up trees. They decorate the house. They plan a big dinner. They even watch some football. But the difference is, they know the reason for the season is the Christ child, Jesus. They know he is the love offering that God sent to redeem a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. And they know that all the trappings and the glitter of the Christmas season is to highlight and to celebrate the birth of his dearly beloved Son, Jesus Christ. And yet, by the middle of January, after all the Christmas stuff is put away, even for Christians, the celebration is over. The new year and all the uncertainty that comes with it now becomes everybody's focus. Life and the things of life seem to automatically take over. And most Christians get right back into the daily rut of everyday living. Why is that? Why do God's people only celebrate their Savior's birthday for a week or so in December, and then they turn off the lights and the party's over? Why is that? Isn't that exactly what people who are not Christians do after their holiday is over? Do you know, my beloved, that every day, every single day, should be a Christmas celebration for the child of light? Did you know that? Every day. If you're a born-again believer, a genuine Christian, then you should celebrate the coming of Christ every single day. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, baby Jesus, for coming to save my life. Thank you for coming to save my soul. That should be on your lips every day. You should celebrate Christmas in June. That's the title of the message this morning, Christmas in June. As a matter of fact, you should celebrate Christmas in April. You should celebrate Christmas in August. You should celebrate Christmas in November. And yes, you should also celebrate Christmas in December. As a matter of fact, all people, not just believers, should celebrate all year long. And here's why. For those who don't know Jesus Christ, for those that are not Christians, the birth of Jesus Christ is the only hope of salvation they're ever going to have. My proof verse is John 14:6. Here Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Did you get that? Those 19 words, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Those 19 words are what the Christmas celebration is really all about. And anyone who is not a genuine Christian, those words are either the words of life or they're the words of death. So if you don't know Christ as your Savior, hold on to and keep singing Silent Night, Joy to the World, Away in the Manger. Because those Christmas carols talk about the salvation, the only salvation you can possibly have. Oh yeah. And I would also advise you not to take down all your Christmas decorations. Leave a bulb up here and there in your house. Keep a few of them up as a reminder that the Christ child is your only hope of salvation. For the believer, we celebrate Christmas every day. First of all, because God was willing to take on the form of a man. You imagine that? A man, lower than an angel that served the king. He was willing to take on that form and he was willing to do it just to pay his sin debt and his and hers and mine and yours. That's the reason to celebrate Christmas all year long. And if that's all there was eternity in heaven rather than eternity in hell, that would be more than enough. But there's more. Oh, there's so much more. Not only did he take the punishment for sin that we all deserved, he also brought incredible gifts to give his people. What Jeff and Wink passed out to you are just 30 of them that came to mind as I was preparing this message. That's why Christmas isn't about giving other people presents. It's about the gift of life that God gave mankind. God's gift to mankind is what the giving part of Christmas is all about. And I have two proof verses for that. Paul teaches us in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And the scripture verse we're looking at this morning is John 3:16. This is the other proof verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I've chosen John 3:16 as our text this morning because it contains both a Christmas message, the message of goodwill towards men with whom he is pleased, and it carries a message of hope for all who are still blinded by the God of this world. For the lost, their hope in this text is this: he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth shall not perish. That's the hope that every person who doesn't know Christ has. And that's the only hope. The church won't save you. I won't save you. You can't save yourself. It's only through the Christ child, Jesus. And it doesn't matter whether you're a counterfeit Christian, a tare, or one who worships in the Church of Cain, liberal churches. John 3:16 is the only lifeline. El Elyon, God Almighty, will ever give you. There's no other lifeline than John 3:16. And it doesn't matter what the church tells you, because the church doesn't have a title deed to heaven. It doesn't matter what any man tells you, because heaven is not theirs to give away. Paul told the Galatians, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. And he meant that so much he said it twice, exactly the same way. You see, it doesn't matter what anybody says, it only matters what God tells you. And he says, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. I always marvel at how simple and easy Scripture really is to understand. People make it out to be, oh, it's so difficult, I can't understand it. It's because they don't want to understand it. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. That's not hard to understand at all. That means you must acknowledge that Jesus is God incarnate in human form, and that he can and he will save you from your sin. And a person acknowledges they truly believe in Christ by living a biblically centered life. I have a proof verse for that. John 8:31. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. That's the message of hope our text this morning gives those who don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. The message of hope for the lost of the world. Not just believing that he lived and that he was God, that's the mental assent. Once you believe on him, then you have to live your life like you really meant it. That's pretty simple. That's not difficult to do. But for Christians, children of light, oh beloved, our text has a far, far different meaning. You see, for those who've been reconciled to God through Christ and are living a Christ-centered life, our text says these people shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And those seven words, they mean the doors of heaven itself have been flung open for them, and the blessings of paradise are poured into every born-again believer's life every day. This is how Paul puts it in Romans chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. He says, if God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up over for us all. Listen to this. How will he not also with him freely give us all things? Amen. How's that for a reason to celebrate Christmas in June? That verse isn't just for Christmas. It's for June. It's for April. It's for May. It's for every day. The blessings that the Christ child brought, he brought with him for mankind when he came into this world, are absolutely immeasurable. Man has not devised a mechanism to measure the blessings that Christ brought to his people. They're beyond our understanding. And the most wonderful thing about that, beloved, is that they're available to us each and every day of our life. Each and every day. That list I had passed out, they belong to you. Everything on that list belongs to you. Let's look at a couple of them. Let's look at forgiveness. Forgiveness, for example. Our text says, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. What does that mean? That means the wrath of God, original sin, has been removed through Jesus Christ. Romans 5, 8, and 9 is the proof verse for that. God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, and here it goes, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. You see, we don't go to hell for anything we do, just like we don't go to heaven for anything we do. People end up in hell because original sin, the wrath of God, is on them and it's never been removed. Only the blood of Christ can do that. And in addition to removing our original sin, Paul writes in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him. And I love this next part. Having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he is taking it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. All of your sins are on that cross. And if that's not enough, because it seems we're always looking for more. If that's not enough, God's forgiveness is available to his elect children every single day. 1 John 1:9 tells us, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you get that? You don't have to walk around your life with this chain and all the things you've done and all the things you regretted and all the things you wish you could do over and all those things that keep you from being joyful and from being happy. You don't have to do that. The blood of Christ cleanses you of not just your sin, it cleanses you of the guilt of that sin as well. Jesus said, I have come that my joy, that you would have my joy and your joy would be full. You can't have joy if you're carrying around a bunch of burdens, and all of us here have them. There's another reason to celebrate Christmas in June. How about prayer? Oh, beloved, the blessings of prayer. What a gift that is for the child of Christ. Our text promises eternal life for all who believe. That means the instant a person is born again, the very instant that person is born again, they have communication with God immediately. I once had a little girl ask me, she had just accepted the Lord Christ as her Savior, and she asked me, she said, Brother Brian, she said, can I talk to God? Will he listen to me because I'm just a kid? Will he listen to me? And I sat down with her and I told her, I said, little sister, I said, when you pray to God, you probably have his ear more than I do because your faith is probably stronger than mine. Jesus said, you must believe like a child and come unto me. You instantly have God's attention. You have his ear the moment you know Christ is your Savior. Christ, you see, is the spiritual connection that makes all people get connected to God the Father. You cannot have access to the Father but through Christ. That's what the Bible says. My proof verse, Isaiah 59:2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. You see, if the blood of Christ has not removed the wrath of God from you, then Scripture makes it very clear. You have no spiritual connection to Jesus' Father, none. But once that connection is made, the child of obedience can walk with Jehovah God in the cool of the day, or they can walk with him in the darkest night of their life. There's nobody sitting here that haven't walked in the dark of night. And how lonely that is when we have to do it ourselves. But to know that you can commune with your Creator. To know Psalm 91:14-15. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. The child of God has that kind of resource at their hands. Zechariah chapter 13, verse 9 promises, they shall call on my name and I will hear them. I will say it is my people and they shall say the Lord is my God. You have to have that connection between Christ and yourself before you can have those verses in your life. That's the difference. This book was written for the unsaved to know that the only way you can have access to God is through the cross at Calvary. That's what Christianity is all about. And once you have that, you have the blessings of heaven itself poured down. In a sense, you've brought heaven to earth. What a wonderful gift that is for Christmas. Prayer is an incredible gift that we have. It's a privilege. It's a duty. It's a responsibility. And yet I'm here to say sadly and unfortunately this sacred gift that God has given us is hardly used by many Christians today. You see, believers won't take time to walk and talk with God. They won't do it because they won't make the time to do it. They're too busy. They're too busy to stop and commune with the one who said, "Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." They're too busy to talk to him. But the moment, the very moment, something unpleasant appears in their life, what's the first thing they do? They dive into their prayer closet head first, and they try to commune with God as if they've been doing it every day. But God won't be mocked. Let me ask you, how do you think God feels about giving his children the sacred privilege of prayer? A privilege that was paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. And then watching his children make up every excuse you can think of for not exercising prayer every day in their life. How do you think that makes them feel? If I'm speaking to you, if you've neglected your prayer life, don't feel bad about it. Do something about it. Make a New Year's resolution that you're going to speak to your Father in heaven every day. Show him just how important his gift of prayer is by faithfully calling out to him every day, even when there is no problems, especially when there is no problems. And what about the irrevocable and inseparable gift of love that God gives us with his Son Christ? Paul explained the irrevocable love of God to the church at Rome this way: "But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Romans 5:8. And then Paul, a little later, in Romans 8:35, he explains the inseparableness of God's love. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Our text this morning shows that love. It's a declaration of love, actually, for all mankind. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." And lastly, we see God's love exemplified by giving us his Holy Spirit, sealing it within our hearts. It's a down payment as his children. Paul wrote in Ephesians 1:13 and 14, "In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance." He gave his Son. His Spirit indwells you. He's given you an answer book for anything that comes up in life. He's given you everything. Spiritual and physical comfort. That's yet another great gift that he gives the child of God. It's a gift that Christ brought with him for all mankind. No one goes through this life, no one I've ever known, goes through this life without trials and tribulations. Even our Lord Jesus experienced them throughout his life. Isaiah called him a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. For the believer who is walking and living in the Spirit, spiritual attacks from the enemy or something that must be faced almost daily. There's not a day that goes by that somehow in some part of my day I'll be doing something and all of a sudden I'll hear this inner voice say, "You can do it. No one's watching. No one will see. Don't worry about it. You'll get away with it.
whatever it might be. And the moment I hear that voice, instantly, and sometimes even while it's still talking, I hear, Brian, you're my son. Don't do it.
That's a gift. That's free will. I know there's wrong and there's right. And I'm motivated to do the right because of who I belong to. That's a gift I never had before Christ. I never knew it existed. Before I was saved, when that inner voice would speak to me, the only thing I heard myself, another voice saying, I wonder if I'll get caught. That's the difference. It's a gift. And it's a gift that comes with Christ and Christ alone. You see, our spiritual struggles that we have, they're not really with people, but with the evil powers that motivate people. They motivate people to persecute us, to use us, to tempt us. John 13:26 is my proof verse. It says, so when he had dipped the morsel, he took and gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. And the morsel, after the morsel, Satan then entered into him. Then Jesus said to him, what you do, do quickly. Yes, Satan betrayed Christ, his master, and he knew Christ was God. It was the devil that entered them, though. We should always know that. We should always remember that it's not people. It's the evil in people. But we have spiritual comfort. Our Father has given us through Christ. We have the spiritual comfort of knowing that He's there for us. Psalm 91:4 promises, He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Psalm 125:2 adds, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about His people, from henceforth, even forever. Take that to lunch next week. That one verse, take it with you. He's around you. And the Apostle John writes, you are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And how about the physical comfort we all need? And the emotional comfort we all need? When a child of God is faced with the sting of disease or the incredible pain of emotional distress. Unlike the unsaved who cry out, why me, why me? The saint cries out, and we know that all things work together for good to them who love God and are called according to His purpose. Romans 8:28. When grief surrounds us like an impenetrable wall, we don't shipwreck our life by never getting over it. Instead, the child of God is comforted and helped through this time by the promise of Isaiah. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Isaiah 43:2-3. Next time you find yourself in one of those dark nights, grab hold of that. Take that verse to bed with you. Or we have the great 23rd Psalm to encourage us. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Do you understand, my beloved, just how special Christians are in the eyes of God? Do you understand that He has given you all of these special gifts through His Son, Jesus Christ? Do you get that? And I'm here to tell you, the child of God has these gifts, but the world doesn't have them. Because the gifts weren't meant for the world. Only those who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior can open and use these very special gifts. Now I hear somebody already thinking, well, how can that be? That can be because Paul the great apostle wrote in 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man, those that are not Christians, the natural man discerneth not the things of God, for they are spiritually discerned, and he even cannot do so. Romans 8:7 says, the carnal man cannot understand the things of God, for they are spiritually discerned. The world cannot understand these gifts, nor can they claim them, because they haven't first come to Calvary, and they haven't claimed the Father's Son, Jesus Christ. This morning, I've given you on that list, and I have it right here somewhere, 30. I've given you 30 incredible reasons why you should celebrate Christmas in June. You should celebrate Christmas every day of your life. I've shown you that these special gifts come only through Christ and are available to only God's elect children. This is the message the Holy Spirit of God has given me to pass on to you this morning. If you can't claim these gifts at present because you haven't come to Calvary and trusted in Christ, but you feel your heart being stirred to do that, see me after the service, and I'll show you in God's Word how He's calling you into His kingdom and how much He loves you. As for my brothers and sisters in Christ, I ask you, what will you do with all these gifts that were bought by the blood of Christ? What will you do with them? Will you tuck them away somewhere in your Bible or in your prayer closet? Or will you post them in the open just so you can see them wherever you are, so that every day as you walk by, you can claim one of these verses for yourself? Will you look up at the verses, take them with you wherever you go? Or will you just leave all these gifts, these 30 gifts, will you just leave them unopened and trod through this sin-filled world as a child of God, but one who's spiritually destitute? What will you do, Christian? That's the challenge before you today. Will you start the new year like every other year? Or will you, like Joshua, say, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord? Let's pray. Our Holy Father, I know, Lord, I have only scratched the surface of all the great gifts that come along with salvation in your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, that you would open up our minds and hearts to these gifts, that you would help us, Lord, to use them every day, not just in our head, Lord, but in our lives. Help us to be children of application. Help us to take these gifts and put them in our lives and put them in the lives of other people, Lord. And we ask it for your glory. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.